Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deborah Shane's Top Small Business Podcast and the hub for community connections and conversations. Join us weekly for lively discussions and inspiring guests on current events, careers, consumer trends, small business, and social media. Visit DeborahShaneToolbox.com to learn more about Deborah and how you can be in the spotlight. And now, your host, Deborah Shane.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Metropolis. I apologize for being a couple of seconds late. This is technology world, and sometimes we have little snafus that we have to work through, which we have thankfully worked through. So I just want to make sure my guest is with me. Susan Kohler, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Oh, my God. I'm so glad. Just give me one second here. I'm so glad. I was a little bit freaking out today. But, you know, I don't really have too many technical issues over the last 5 years. But, you know, some days technology just wants to be difficult. But thank God here we are, not too late at all. So I'm so grateful to welcome Susan Kohler. She's the Vice President of Customer Success at Infusionsoft. And she, they are, of course, the presenters of ICON this year, 15. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to welcome you back to the Metropolis. And again, I want to express my appreciation and gratitude for your support and participation over the last 5 years. We are close to 580,000 downloads and listens on our podcast, and that is just so amazing, and I'm so glad that you like what we do here and you see value in it when you come and you join us each month. So with that said, today we're going to talk about small business. We're going to talk about small business success. We're going to talk about small business marketing, and we're going to talk about the amazing conference that I am actually going to and will be covering, ICON 15 out in Phoenix, which is Infusionsoft's conference coming up here at the end of March and early April. So Susan is going to join me today to talk about all that stuff. And she has 20 years of experience and has held several leadership positions, from brand manager to chief marketing officer in some fairly well-known companies, might I add, including Microsoft, Dial, and Warner Lambert. She has led multiple global and corporate partnerships and website launches, and she's just got an amazing amount of fantastic knowledge and experience. She is a passionate dog lover, so she's okay in my book. And a former NCAA Division I tennis player. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So good afternoon, Susan. Welcome to our show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. What an honor to be on this show with you, with all that you've accomplished and your listeners.
Well, you know, we've been working at it here for, this is actually our sixth year, going into our sixth year doing the podcast, and I was an early adapter to this format, and look, I come from a broadcast radio background, so I always really loved the listening media of radio and how powerful it still is, and of course now podcasting is 21st century radio, so it's really come on strong the last 18 months, and it's really finding its place in the content mix. So first and foremost, tell us a little bit about your background and how, you know, and your story and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, so I was fortunate. You know, I'm a little over 50 years old, and when I was just coming out of college, I had 2 degrees, marketing and an advertising degree, and I thought, you know, what a great opportunity to kind of be your own CEO. And so that's why I went into consumer packaged goods. You were referencing Dial and Warner Lambert. And what's fascinating about being a CEO, right then you learn how to be an entrepreneur. The big difference is it's not really your money. I mean, you're managing it, but it's a public company. But what the P&Gs and the whole consumer products does is it really gives you a foundation and a skill set for you later in life if you want to become an entrepreneur. And so, you know, that was a really interesting start. What I loved about it was taking then that foundation and then saying after 10 years of that, what's going to be the next real growth cycle in the world? And I really did think it was going to be technology, which the world has proven. So I was very fortunate to get some outstanding experience, 10 years of experience at Microsoft. And one of my favorite things that I worked on that a lot of your listeners will know was digital imaging. So today, everybody uses digital cameras. You know, you send photos through email all day long, through your cell phones. You know, it's easy to print them, either at home or on kiosks. But back in 1997, that didn't even exist. It was a vision. It was an entrepreneur's concept of where technology was building to. And we set out, Microsoft, Kodak at the time, and Hewlett-Packard became strategic partners. And we figured out what are going to be these great use cases. And women were actually at the center, because if you think about it, back in 95, 97, you know, there really weren't laptops. People had big computers at home, but primarily computers were being used at that time in the workplace only. And the concept was, how are we going to get people within homes, like just moms, kids, households, using computers at home? And this was a really major innovation.
Well, you talk about you were a CEO, but you were also an entrepreneur, which I think is a fascinating idea and truth, really, because even though you're the CEO, you are entrepreneur. You have to be entrepreneurial all the time, no matter what job you have. You have to have an entrepreneurial mindset because, you know, even though you work for somebody else and you're growing their dream, it's still you're in charge of growing that dream. And I think it's, and we've talked about that idea a lot over the last few years, you know, with regard to entrepreneurship. And that is, you know, no matter what you do in life, whether you work for somebody or you start your own business or you become an entrepreneur, you have to have an entrepreneurial mindset because those are the qualities that really make you stand out and give you the strength and perseverance to, you know, go on through really, really tough cycles and times, because as you know, in 2008 and 9 and 10, I mean, it was like people were dropping like flies. I mean, it was just too hard for people to figure out and sustain starting a business. It was too difficult a time. So you had to really hone in, you know, on the basics, get lean and mean, and know what your niche and what your strengths and assets were, and stick with those, you know. And so having an entrepreneurial mindset is really important. So having said that, from your perspective over the last, let's say, year or so, you know, we know that this is, you know, this is a really good time for small business and entrepreneurs. And this last year was the first time in a long time people were talking about growth rather than recovery. And that is so exciting. So tell us a little bit about the temperament of small business now from what you're seeing and what you're feeling.
Yeah, the temperament is very optimistic. When you look at the economy, what's happening, and you look at what technology allows you to do as an entrepreneur, you can compete with midsize up to enterprise type companies. I think a key thing that you said is you've got to be clear in who you are and what you stand for. What is your niche? And your ability as an entrepreneur to be nimble and agile and react to the world around you is faster, really, than an enterprise. And so what do I really mean by that? What I mean is if you look at what's going on with marketing strategies for entrepreneurs, right, word of mouth is fundamental. There's the four top things. Word of mouth is number one. Email's number two to your own list. Networking, and then social media. And what I'm finding is if you think about all of those, it's the entrepreneur's ability to really showcase their voice. who they really are. And the better you can do that as an entrepreneur, the more it resonates with the average consumer who wants to go purchase that product. Most people today don't want to go purchase from a large enterprise because it sounds like a big machine and it doesn't have a real personal story. Right. But with entrepreneurs, you will know the story, whether it's somebody's specialty toffee recipe that was handed down by the family for 100 years, or it's a fitness instructor that had strived to be in the Olympics, but something held them back from that. Maybe it was funding or something. And it's these personal stories that really become a magnet for business. And when, again, if you look at referrals, right, word of mouth, the way that you can talk about it in your emails, networking and social media, those are all great storylines set up better for the entrepreneur really than the big, large enterprise.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And in addition to that, the whole, to me, I see this huge shift in, you know, the need for authenticity, to be real, to be, you know, to convey not only your successes, but your challenges, because people learn, you know, how to go through things from other people. I mean, it's okay that, you know, people have challenges and difficulties and, you know, of course, without getting too personal, but I think that's a big part of you know, the personalization of business in general. I mean, you know, to me, and I was just doing some writing on the top brands and, you know, what they have in common that has sustained them and kept them popular and, you know, grounded in with the public. And, you know, they share very, you know, they know who they are, they know what they do, and they're engaging now because the public demands it with their public. You know, they must engage with their public because, truthfully, people are not going to buy things from people they don't like, know, and trust. It's just not going to happen today. It's too much choice and competition, right?
Yeah. What I love about the trust that you've just brought up is that it mandates transparency, right? And then each consumer can decide who is it that they want to interact with, whose product do they want to buy, whose service, you know, whether it's someone coming in to mow their lawn or to work in their home, et cetera. And so this concept of transparency and your ability as an entrepreneur to tell your story, to build up your referrals of customers that you've done a great job with, so that storytelling is very authentic and genuine and all these things that you're talking about. And the playing field of the internet has truly created an amazing playground for entrepreneurs. I mean, you know, whether it's using Infusionsoft software or the way that you leverage social media, you have the ability now to compete for those consumers almost as an advantage because they're really out there looking for you. It's just your ability to break through. That's what it's going to come down to.
And connect. You have to say things and do things that connect and resonate with people so that they can relate to you as a person, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, what I think is interesting, if you look at even just the advertising on the Super Bowl, there's a lot of dogs in commercials. Now, why? Because dogs are lovable. They're one of the most trustworthy beings on the planet. And so it usually immediately creates subconsciously in people this concept of trust. I had a customer in who was a lawyer, and he was showing me his website. We were working through and kind of consulting and helping him build it out and build his business to the next level. He was already at $1 million plus. And he had this beautiful photo he showed me of his dog on his iPhone. And then I'm looking at his website, and it was the exact thing we've been talking about. You know, there he is buttoned up in this suit. There's nothing that's showing me who he really is. But so his mindset of what he was showing on the website was totally different than who the individual was sitting next to me. He was a great guy. He was really, you know, very smart. You know, his resume was fantastic. But it was someone I'd want to do business with versus just a suit. And so by showing more of who you are and why you do it and what motivates you when you're helping people, that's what people want to know.
Well, the suit thing having come from a corporate background myself, and, you know, thinking about some of the managers that I have that were, like, really stiff, okay? They were stiff, stiff. And I, you know, it was like, to me, it was almost a little bit of a game to get them to just relax and, you know, lighten up a little bit. This is a people business, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't be too stiff. You have to really be real today and authentic. And I think that's something, you know, somebody slips, somebody falls, you know, somebody gets, you know, ketchup on their shirt. All those things make us human in so many ways. So let me ask you about this fantastic research that you just came out with at the end of 2004, which I know you do that every couple of years or so, some of the mm-hmm. research studies that you've done. And a lot of good news in that survey, but some really interesting things as well came out of that, which are not surprising me. One of which, I want you to talk about some of the research that came out of that, but one in particular, which I, as crazy as this sounds and as crazy as it is, 3 out of 10 small businesses still don't have a website. Okay. All right, wait.
I know.
I had to read it three times myself. but here's the thing, okay? And I agree with you 110% that's insanity. But at the same time, and let me just say this, if you look at how you can use LinkedIn today and Facebook for Business today, there is a school of thought, and there are several small businesses that say, you know what? I can customize my LinkedIn profile and my Facebook profile and have a business. And truthfully, Facebook for Business has done a great job proving that. So talk about some of that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I had to read the statistic twice myself when the research was coming back in because, you know, when I think about entrepreneurs, most entrepreneurs have a variety of things that they want to be selling, right? And they need the ability to transact.
Right.
So you're only really in
right.
business if you're taking money and giving value, right? And then the ability for them to repurchase. And so that's, if you really think about a business engine and your cycle,
sure.
You need a way to transact. And there really isn't a way to transact directly when you think about, you know, LinkedIn. I personally love LinkedIn. It's one of the best professional networking things to come around in a long time. And it's great for recruiting.
Great.
I mean, we do a lot of our recruiting on it. But I can't transact on it. And the other thing is, I can't really develop leads from it. So if you're an entrepreneur, the big thing is you got to bring your new leads in. And the way to do that is by having a place to get leads. So if you're not on the road at a lot of different conferences, and still that's time versus money, right? You're using a lot of time. The most scalable approach to getting in front of millions of people is definitely on the web. And there's ways to attract them so that you get your lead flow in, right? And then you nurture those leads by, you know, publishing great content, having a great podcast on there, you know, talking about a new book that's come out. And so for me, I think the interesting statistic will be as we look into the three, you know, the 3 out of 10, the 30% that don't have web sites, how many of them become successful in the end? And is that then just a virtue of the type of business they're in? Because if you can't transact and you can't scale, you're setting yourself up for a loss, you know, not being successful. And, you know, it's tough enough to be a successful small business. So why not have the website and have it in your favor?
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and that is, you know, it depends on what kind of business that you have. I have to say that I do know some category, like some consultants and some different types of businesses, that it's more about a personal branding and credibility and, mm-hmm. of course, you know, attracting leads through their social media more than necessarily their website. Because I'm actually one of those that I do get a lot of inquiries off my website, but I get a lot of action as well from my content marketing, from my podcast, from mm-hmm. my writing, you know, regularly for Small Biz Trends and Forbes and so forth. I do get a lot of contact that way. So I think it is not impossible, and I say this because I don't want to scare people away that say, you know what, I'm going to build out a really professional LinkedIn page and, you know, and focus on Facebook and, you know, put in a little content marketing through the LinkedIn publishing feature, which is fantastic. I mean, they opened that up last year, and that's an awesome app. That's an awesome platform to be able to write off of LinkedIn, you know? So
definitely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to build on what you're saying. Like, you can even publish a book on Amazon now with their web publishing.
Exactly.
And so your ability to use technology is all before you. It really just comes down to what is that goal that the entrepreneur has, and then as they look across this landscape of all these things they could be doing, one, don't get overwhelmed. You know, think about what is your goal for this year. And what then are these levers or strategies that I'm going to pull at this current stage? You know, what's appropriate for me? And you're right. A lot of people may never need a website. It depends. If I'm a bakery shop and I'm not interested in shipping and it's really a brick and mortar, meaning a little shop, and it's just my local customers,
exactly.
Then
I make
right,
jewelry,
so
whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you're spot on there. I mean, I think that is a trend that has emerged for certain kinds of businesses, certain types of categories of business, certain levels of businesses. I mean, not everybody wants to, you know, make $1 million a year. Some people want to supplement their income with their husband's income or their wife's income, or, you know, just make us some extra money for the family, whatever. It's not, you know, there's so many. It's so open today, and I think that's really cool. That's really cool. It is exciting. Let's talk about ICON coming up here at the end of March and into the first week of April. Let's talk a little bit about ICON, the conference, which brings small businesses, entrepreneurs together each year. Talk a little bit about the thinking behind this conference, and what are some of the themes this year that you're going to be focusing on?
Yeah, what I love about ICON, okay, it is the last day of March, so March 31st through April 2nd, you know, right here in Phoenix at the Convention Center, but it is really this ultimate event for small businesses and really being focused on their success. And so it is a conference, but what's unique about it is there's a ton of interactive opportunities.
Yeah.
So we do have some top keynotes. You've got to bring in top keynotes, right? They're your headliners, and it's not just your CEO. You know, so we have the Johnny Earls, we have John McCoff, we've got Sally Hogshead, you know, people that have written top books or have been rated, you know, by Business Week, the number one young entrepreneur. We have that. But what we find in our research, what they love the most is talking with their peers also. So they go to this keynote, they do a breakout, and then we have a lot of time where we're talking about their particular business and what we can be doing to help them be successful, connecting them to other businesses like themselves. So if I'm in the fitness business or I'm in beauty care, it's one thing to try to learn from, somebody that did X, Y, and Z in accounting or finance. It's another when you can connect me immediately to somebody in my own industry and that they're at the same stage of business that I'm at, struggling with the same things. Or here's this other person that is in the beauty industry, but they're another stage ahead of you. They're two more years in, and so they've experienced where you are, but they can help tell you, you know, the tips, the tricks, the best practices that help them get over those hurdles to that next level of growth. And so that's our goal. Our goal is that they come. Of course, it's a great opportunity to learn, but it's a very meaningful experience to be surrounded by so many other entrepreneurs that have had your same challenges, that have faced some of the same great wins and overcoming them, and then to learn about what's that next stage and how do I keep growing.
Well, I thoroughly, this will be my second ICON. I was invited out by Infusionsoft as your guest, which was such an honor to be out there covering the conference. And, you know, last year I said, okay, I'm going to shoot some short videos and then put them together in this cool reel. And it came out amazing, and I'm going to do that again. And, you know, just do my little thing out there and, you know, highlight a lot of different people from the highest you know, lead speaker level to the little entrepreneur that's just, you know, pumping away, doing their thing. And it's one thing I will say, it was, you know, a fantastic conference. It was well done, well run, and everybody was so more than friendly and so more than willing to really introduce themselves, get into conversations. That's really, really awesome. And, you know, because sometimes going to a big conference like that can be really tough for a lot of people and very overwhelming. So I'm looking forward to being out there. So everybody, why don't you give out your contact information as well as the Infusionsoft and Icon information so people can know how to learn more about that.
Definitely. The website is attendicon, so that's attendicon.com. That's where you can look at the speakers, the agenda, you know, everything we've been talking about. And then my personal email is Susan, S-U-S-A-N, period, Kohler, K-O-E-H-L-E-R, at infusionsoft.com. And that's Susan, period, Kohler, K-O-E-H-L-E-R, at infusionsoft.com. And yeah, this icon, we're working on it now. It is just wrapping up to be probably the best experience ever. And what I love is our customers want to help each other. It's really a differentiator versus other conferences I've been at. They show up not only to learn, but to help their peer. And when I think about at the end what it's like to be a part of, you know, the event and a part of our overall community, it's about helping each other get that success. You know, we want everyone to be a successful small business, and you're going to feel that not just from the employees and the partners that might be there and the vendors. You're going to feel it from every other person that's in that room, and you're able to go away with really concrete evidence of, okay, I'm going to be able to go do this, like this next campaign, I know it worked for this other company. I'm just going to implement that on Monday. You know, and so I think people really like the actionability of it.
Well, thank you, Susan Kohler, Vice President of Customer Success at Infusionsoft, for joining us today. And this today we talked about if you're a CEO, you're an entrepreneur. Don't get overwhelmed, okay? Continue your optimism. And it's a great, great time to be an entrepreneur right now. Very, very positive, optimistic times. And so we'll see you out in Icon. I'll see you out there shortly. And thank you for joining us today. And everybody, please come back and visit us again next time on The Metropolis.
Thank you for listening to our Top Small Business Podcast. Please share us with others and come back and visit again soon. To learn more about Debra and how you can be in the spotlight, visit DebraShaneToolbox.com and rock somebody's day, whatever you do.